is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to everybody tuned in all over North America. You could be in Alaska, Anchorage, or Willow. You could be down in Florida, Miami, or Gainesville. You could be here in Atlanta, Georgia with me. You could be with our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey, in New York. You could be in Louisiana. Shout outs to all my folks in Louisiana. Y'all got a snowstorm? A blizzard? Houston? My people, y'all, what the hell? Hell is going on? We got snow and ice here in Atlanta. What is going on? Almost bust my behind coming into work. It's a shame. Man, but first of all, everybody who came here to Atlanta to the national championship game, they need to be happy that the ice and the snow came after y'all left. Okay? Because y'all be stuck here for a couple of days. Anyway, I'm going to be here stuck with you for the next 2 hours. Show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can listen live on the free Odyssey app. You can listen live on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. You can listen live on SiriusXM channel 375. You can listen on a smart speaker. Ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, you got other ways to listen, too. A matter of fact, you can watch. You got access to YouTube? You can watch the live stream. Much love to everybody tuned in and locked in on the Infinity Sports Network YouTube channel. Yeah, just go search it, Infinity Sports Network YouTube, and it will pop right on up. You want to be a part of the show? You can do that, too. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. 27. You can find me online. I am at JR Sport Brief. We've had a full show. And thank you so much. Last hour being joined, well, we were joined by Tim May from LettermanRow.com, who's been covering Ohio State for the past 40 plus years, was here in Atlanta and was smart enough to drive back before there was any issues, before there were any issues with the weather. Good on him. And in about 20 minutes, we're going to have a chat with Pete Fiutek from collegefootballnews.com. I'm going to ask him about a broad range of subjects related to college football. We know that now that we've had the first 12-team college football playoff, what changes can we see? How long will it take before the players are actually going to be able to be paid directly from the schools and not these collectives? There's just so many questions. Which players are going? Which players are coming? Who's moving? Who's transferring? I mean, come on. We just saw Ohio State win last night. Starting running back, transfer. Quarterback, transfer portal. Come on. It's all about acquiring talent and how much are they going to make? We'll have that chat with Pete Fiutek in 20 minutes from now. Got coaches moving around. Kevin O'Connell gets a contract extension from the Minnesota Vikings. I guess well-deserved when you work miracles with Sam Darnold. Yeah, you worked a miracle with that guy. Aaron Glenn might be the next coach of the Jets. We got Liam Cohen, offensive coordinator for the Buccaneers. He might be going to the Jaguars. It seems that might be a place where coaching careers go to die. There's so much going on. I mean, even we got, speaking of coaching careers that died, Josh McDaniels, former Raiders coach, former Broncos coach. He's going to be the offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots. So we'll get into that. And then we talked about the Big Ten versus the SEC. There is so much to discuss. Now let's hit the phone lines, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Hey, we got James calling from L.A. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, James?
Hey, what's up, JR? How you doing, brother?
I am amazing. How are you?
Sounds good, man. Yeah, hey. Tip of the hat to Ohio State. I knew they had a clear run when Harbaugh retired after winning the title last year, even though they made it harder than what it appeared to get to. You know, I didn't think there was no doubt. Once, even though they lost to Michigan, once they got past it, I told everybody it's hard to beat a team twice. When Oregon got one up in Eugene, I knew they weren't going to beat them again. And so that was pretty easy after that. That's what I thought, and it came true, and they just ran away with it. But my question, I'm going to ask you two quick ones. Number one, when is I'm a UCLA guy, man, but I'm UCLA on the court. I like them in football, but I'm UCLA on the court all the way. But UCLA on the court. But as far as, you know, we know SC dominates on the field. So I'm trying to tell everybody, I'm talking to people to see who they think going to bring SC back to prominence. I know Lincoln Riley right now has got it, but the way he's been playing, I give him another year, and then I think he's out of there. And I got one name for you, and people may not like it. People may not want to hear it. If you want to win, Urban Meyer is going to bring you back to prominence.
To do what? Show up and quit? Is morally wrong? Why? Because
it's morally wrong because of what he, you know, went through.
Listen, if Urban Meyer couldn't keep his hands to himself in Ohio after a Thursday night football loss, why do I think he's going to behave any better in Los Angeles?
Well, Bobby Petrino got another chance. Rick Pitino got another chance. So why not Urban Meyer?
Why? Because Urban Meyer left college because he had issues, and then he went to the NFL because a dumb owner gave him all the power in the world. He abused that power, allegedly kicked a kicker, hung out with a woman who's not his wife after a game, a young woman, right. I might add you. And so you just want to just drop Urban Meyer into Los Angeles like it's a good idea?
First, I'm a UCLA guy. I just want to see L.A. get their prominence, you know. Ohio State did it. Michigan did it.
You got multiple teams to wear. Hey, James, how about this? I am less concerned with who the coach is, and I know certainly you bring in a coach and you can attract all the talent. Man, I haven't given a damn about this team since Caleb Williams was crying his way out the building, and then since Miller Moss got benched. And so for me to think about Urban Meyer becoming coach, you said it all. Like you said, it's going to be unpopular. There's a reason why. I don't know who you bandying about this with, but if I'm Urban Meyer, I'm sticking to television and I'm staying away from a place where I can get in more trouble. Okay.
Okay, sounds good. I mean, that's just something I'm throwing out there. You know, he right behind Nick Saban, you got to say he's the best that there is. So,
let's go ahead and take, that's not a nice example. You know what I'm not going to do? How about this, James? I'm not going to take a toddler to a candy store and then not buy anything. Okay, how about that? Does that make sense?
I agree with you, man. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to my Raiders. Now.
There's more. Hold on a second, James. Hickey, there's more. I thought those were both of the questions.
But wait, there's more.
There's more. Oh my God! But wait, there's more. Hey, James, hold on. I want to try to beat you to the punch. You want to ask me about the Raiders? You want to ask me about Ben Johnson is not there. I don't know. You going to end up with old-ass Pete Carroll? I don't know. Does Tom Brady want him? Can they bring in a coach who will convince Mark Davis to get another haircut? Like, what could you possibly ask me about the Raiders? Let's see. Maybe he wants to see where, John Madden, God rest his soul, he's not here. Maybe he wants to bring him back. Hey, James, what's up? James, go ahead.
Okay, no, I was just saying... do you see any young up and comers that could be do something with that Raider job?
I think there might be two reasons why Ben Johnson didn't take the job. And last week, as I sat here and gave my top six list, and thank you so much, James, for calling from LA. Always a pleasure.
Brother.
No problem. I said the Raiders. I had them at number one on my list, and they were followed by the Bears. All right. Now, we saw what happened yesterday with Ben Johnson becoming the head coach of the Chicago Bears. For him, it makes a lot of sense. He's had the pick of the litter over the past couple of years. He's been able to have so much success with the Lions that he's turned down jobs. He has the benefit of being familiar with the division, the NFC North, having coached for the Lions and coached against the Chicago Bears. And they have a quarterback who he has taken a look at. And Caleb Williams, speaking to USC. So we've seen this. It makes sense for him. Now, what might not have made sense for him is naturally going to the AFC West, a tough division. You think about the Broncos adding a quarterback now and Bo Nix and having Sean Payton. You think about the Kansas City Chiefs. We know about that combination. I mean, Andy Reid has now got 300 wins and Hickey, what's the other team? Oh, Herbert and the Chargers. So it's packed. out there. And then the great unknown is, and we've discussed this, yeah, Tom Brady, he might be making decisions and being influential. But Tom Brady's acting like he's doing two jobs. We got word from this past weekend that he is not going to step down as TV producer, not producer, TV host, analyst on Fox. Hickey, by the way, this week, I was the first time all season that I extensively really paid attention to Tom Brady. There's nothing, and of course, people are going to be overly critical, and I'm trying not to be, especially for a guy who talks for a living. You understand the nuances of it. People have opinions. People will love you. Some people won't. But there was nothing about Tom Brady that made me go, wow. He just, if anything, he sounded artificial, or he doesn't come across as natural. He sounds very manufactured.
Very stiff, very clumsy. And like you said, like, that's the biggest frustration, I think, from a lot of people, is just this is the greatest quarterback of all time. And a large reason for it was his mind, right? He beat defenses with his brain. I think a lot of people, I'm sure Fox was as well, hoping that success on the field translated to talking about it in the booth. And really outside of, like, he was on the Lions 12 men on the field towards the end of the game. Like, he was on that. He was on, like, the timeout usage once by, I forget what team it was. The Bills and Sean McDermott. Other than those, like, two or three moments, it's been basic generic broadcaster, announcer stuff that anybody could make, but especially a guy that shouldn't be making it, making the $37 million, whatever it is, a year that he's getting, you'd expect, but haven't gotten yet, high-level breakdowns.
Yeah, but even the calls, like, while the game is going on, for me, he just doesn't, it's like, oh, well, I need to sound excited. I'm like, it sounds forced. Like, it just talk about it like you'd enjoy it. I mean, for all of, I don't want to say all the swearing, he can't swear on Fox, but all the swearing that we got on the sidelines and the trash talk, it doesn't seem like he's letting his personality roll out. He seems like he's trying to figure it out. And I get it. It's year number one. What does he sound like in year number two? I guess we'll find out sooner than later, because his agent says he is not going anywhere. And if he is going to be somewhat invested in doing a job that he can't fully do because of a conflict of interest being an owner, I don't know. Maybe that's one reason why a guy like Ben Johnson is not going to coach the team. It's just like, yeah, but Brady ain't here. He's covering, half-ass covering NFL games. I got to look at Mark Davis. So maybe me having the Raiders at number one, not such a good idea. But ultimately, I think it'll still work out, even if they have to bring in a coach that, man, it sucks for them. Maybe Brady got to mold him. Maybe Brady does have to leave. But anyway, speaking of Ben Johnson, he was introduced today. People were kissing his backside. They kissing his ass. He was in the building, putting up messages, and he's in the building. Hickey, did you see him walk into the building? Everybody loved him and waved and all that stuff?
I did, yes.
So, how long does that last? Today only, right?
I hope even just once that 1 minute video was done, I hope kind of even right after that goes back to somewhat normal.
Oh, man. Hey, Brady Quinn, you're very familiar. He was on Fox Sports Radio. And he talked about why he thinks Ben Johnson chose the Bears instead of the Raiders. Listen to this.
Ben Johnson knows that division better than any other. And he saw value. He saw, you know, maybe as he's looking at his own team saying, well, they're going to lose Aaron. They're going to lose me. You have a window that's closing on a roster that's hard to keep all these guys together. And maybe we've hit the ceiling with Jared Goff. So if I'm going to take an opportunity where I have to face this team twice a year, like, I'm okay with that, because I've got this quarterback, I've got these other pieces, you know, these defensive pieces. I feel like I could turn this thing around.
Yeah, and that's one coordinator down. The Lions lose their offensive coordinator. They might lose their defensive coordinator in Aaron Glenn. Jonathan Jones was on CBS Sports HQ, and this is what he had to say about Aaron Glenn meeting with his former team he used to play for, the Jets.
They certainly do want him to accept the offer that they ultimately are going to hand him. And so it's just a matter of if he does, right? I mean, I don't know what the state laws in New Jersey are surrounding kidnapping. I mean, they cannot keep him in the building if he wants to leave. But certainly the expectation around the league has been that there will be an offer that ultimately he will not refuse, that he will sign, that he is okay becoming, more than okay with becoming the next head coach of the New York Jets, the team that drafted him in the first round in 1994, team that he has a sentimental tie to, no question about it.
Man, he needs to run from them New York Jets. Just some advice, run. Run, run, run. You know, I'm gonna dive more into this as we continue on with the show. What a bad idea. I get it. If you want to take the money, take the money. People won't look at you any worse. If anything, you just go back to being a D coordinator. But don't work for the Jets. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. On the other side of the break, we're going to have a chat to try to have an understanding of what happens next in college football now that Ohio State are champs. What does this mean for the Big Ten? What does this mean for the SEC? What does this mean for the draft? What does this mean for NIL, the transfer portal, and more? We're going to be joined by Pete Futek from collegefootballnews.com. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
The JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. So much going on. College football season is over. I can't believe it. Crowned the national champion last night here in Atlanta, Georgia. Ryan Day walks away a champ. Will Howard walks away a champ. Marcus Freeman, maybe one day coaches in the NFL. And we got so many questions. What happens with the transfer portal? Are we sticking around with 12 teams? What happens with NIL? To talk about all of these questions and more. The season that we just saw, what we might see in the future. Joining us right now is Pete Futek from collegefootballnews.com. Pete, how are you?
I'm tired. I mean, we forget this is so late. I mean, I am used to 20-something years of, like, it ends around New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and then you have maybe a straggler game afterward, maybe a week later. Now we're like 20 days past it, which is kind of awesome because it's fun. But this was a long season, and everyone got through it. It turned out pretty well, and we got a pretty good game last night after a rough first go there.
Oh my god, 31-7. I mean, I don't know how much rougher it can be. Are you surprised? Well, let me not say, are you surprised? What are your thoughts on the game that we saw overall? A lot of people thought, I did, that Ohio State was going to run them out of the building. They kind of did until they Notre Dame went on, what, 14-16 point run.
Ohio State was my pick from January of last year. So I spent an entire year being like, Ohio State's the best team. It's going to win the national championship. So, I mean, I'm not that smart. It's just they had the best team. They had the most players. I mean, all that hard. And so they do. They had the best players. What kind of hit it, though, is that Marcus Freeman, he blanked. You know, that was not what Notre Dame did all year. And, you know, one of the things leading up to this game that I kind of recognized more and more is people didn't watch Notre Dame. You know, they maybe saw the opener against Texas A&M, because that was that big night game, and then the Northern Illinois game, everyone tuned out. And then they didn't really play anybody, because the Florida State game, you know, was a dud. That didn't really matter. And there wasn't really any marquee games on there that you had to watch. A couple of the games were on Peacock, and who had that? You know, so, like, all of a sudden, everyone was like, wait a minute, Notre Dame's actually pretty good. But they were a good team. That was a real-deal team that I think beats Texas, if Texas had beaten Ohio State. But what they did all year was they were just fearless. They just always, not in a Dan Campbell Lions sort of way, but just sort of a confidence, we know what we can do. And you saw it on the first drive, because that's what Oregon did to Ohio State in the first meeting. Oregon got lit up by Ohio State in that first meeting. But what they did was they were more physical on the offensive line. They were able to push Ohio State around a little bit, and they just kept moving the ball. And so what did Notre Dame do? Just get positive yards, 2 yards here, 4 yards there. Make it third and manageable. Make it fourth and one. Let Riley Leonard go Josh Allen and power away. And do that. And they got away from that in the second drive with the throw, and they really kind of biffed it with that field goal attempt, which you could see it on Marcus Freeman's face. There's no reason to kick the field goal to be down 13, and he knew he should have gone for it. Then he doinks it off the uprights, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I should have gone for it there, and I didn't, and now we're I have to fight for a little bit here.
So, Pete, I mean, after the game, we saw being a head coach, he's going to fall on a sword and admit to being wrong. He didn't necessarily admit to, why he kicked the field goal or that was wrong. He did say that we lost the game because of me. I simply look at the talent disparity. Which one would you lean more towards?
Oh, no, that's why they love him. I mean, the players love this guy, and for good reason. He's a good guy. He's going to do that, and he's going to say, because he himself, I'm sure, is like, I could have done this, and this differently, and had we done that, we would have been. Because what you kind of saw it. You're right, when it was 31-7, it's like, okay, this is over. And then they get that touchdown, the shot goes over the sidelines, and there's Freeman's like, that's one. That's what you kind of see is he's like, okay, that's the first step. And that's been their mindset all year, that they would keep going for stuff, and then if it didn't work, they're like, okay, we're just going to fix it, and we're going to do it right next time. And so they've got that unwavering belief that something good was about to happen, because it did all season long. But he's also still a really, really young head coach who hasn't been through the wars. Remember, Ohio State, you know, since the 6-7 season of Luke Fickell, they've been a game away or a play away from playing for the national title or being in the national title every year for the last 12 years before winning it last night. They've done it again. They've taken so many bites at that apple. They got it in 14, actually technically 15, and then they got into the national championship in 2020. I mean, that Ohio State's been there. They're used to this. Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman aren't.
And Pete Fucek is joining us from collegefootballnews.com. Since you were so keen on accurately predicting Ohio State winning the championship today, or yesterday, I should say, what do you predict for Ohio State moving on into the future, knowing that their quarterback is going to be moving on?
You got to assume that, first of all, they've got guys in place who are good enough to start. But, like, do they go to the transfer portal again? Do they go for another Will Howard, or do they try to promote from within? The key to this team, though, in which it's Ohio State. I mean, they still have as much or more talent than anybody else. But the key to this year's team, it kind of got overlooked a little bit in all the transfers, and the big transfers were they had all those guys back. JTT and Jack Sawyer and the rest of the line. You have Denzel Burke. You had so many parts of that great defense of last year. I mean, last year they only gave up more than 17 points to Michigan. That was it. This year they gave it up to Oregon twice, and those were the only three times in the last 2 years this defense gave up 17 points or more until last night. And you had those pieces, the infrastructure, the 5-year senior veterans in place, and then you add Caleb Downs from Alabama, who might be the best player in college football. Then you add Judkins from Ole Miss. Then you add Will Howard. And then you get Jeremiah Smith, who just rises up as a true freshman. So you had it in place, and then you just got those final puzzle pieces. They don't necessarily have that infrastructure this time around, but like I just said before, you know, you go even before that 1-6-7 season, they were basically in the national title hunt every year under Tressel, and then eventually Urban takes over. They're going to be in the national championship hunt again, but you do not have a team that's going to be as good as this one.
Yeah, well, Ryan Day said this is one of the best teams that he has ever seen in his life. We're being joined by Pete Fucek from collegefootballnews.com. You talked about the portal and being able to have players that are already in place. What potential adjustments could we see to the transfer portal? Will it be reined in at some point, and how soon could that be the case?
What's hard about this, and it gets completely lost, is this is college football. You can't just say, well, we're going to move the transfer portal here. Like, theoretically, I know, they're supposed to be college students. which means you actually have to, like, you know, sign up for classes, and you have to transfer in certain windows, and you can, the semester starts at a certain time, and a trimester, depending on where you're going, ends at a certain time. You have to negotiate when you can actually get into school and allegedly go to class. So it's not just as simple like just overall free agency. So you can't just, it's got to be a specific window. And the problem that's starting to come up in certain places, like at Wisconsin right now with an issue where the player wants to go to Miami, and starting to come up a little bit here and there, is there aren't any rules. I mean, you don't have a labor union. You don't have any representation. You don't have Roger Goodell or anybody like that who can, you know, kind of arbitrary figures out. It is everybody for themselves as everyone's trying to figure this out. So the transfer portal, yes, maybe a smaller window, but that doesn't mean you can't transfer. I mean, if you're a college student, you can just say, yeah, look, if I'm going to be a third string on this team, I'm just going to go to, you know, XYZ State. They could pay me there. I'll just sit out a year, and then I'll play until I'm 27 and go deal with the real world, you know, then. You know, so there are a whole lot of different ways to do this. They just don't have any, you know, hard and fast rules in place yet.
Yeah, I guess that would be the same case when it comes down to NIL. Sooner than later, I know there's a lot of government issues related to this as well, but are there not going to be regulations or laws passed where the schools can ultimately pay the players directly without this collective kind of middleman?
I will say this as someone who is paying tuition bills and is about to pay more. It's a bad look when you're saying, look, I'm happy to pay for my kid's school. I'm not paying for a linebacker. I don't want any, you know, that money to go to that. I'm paying enough as is. And so there is that side of, again, it is a school. There's the other problem with, and I don't want to say it's a problem because it's actually, you know, part of the positive here, is that you do have to deal with the Title IX issues where, okay, well, if you're going to have a school pay for an $8 million quarterback, well, then you got to also pay women. You have to figure out how it's equal among the ranks to make sure everyone gets the share. That's another topic for another day, my thoughts on non-revenue sports. But it's not quite as easy as that, which is why NIL was actually the right way to do this, where you don't have the schools have to pay, and you just say, hey, look, if some goofy booster wants to buy a kid a tractor or something and say, hey, come here and we'll get you this and that, okay, well, welcome to, you know, the market in the world right now. So it's really sticky, but again, it's hard to figure this one out because all the NCAA all anybody's doing right now is trying not to get sued. So right now they're letting everything go to avoid lawsuits, and then they're going to hope it all kind of figures itself out somehow.
Oh, my God. Well, we know that's not going to happen. So we might as well be in store for a you-know-what show for the next, 5, 10, 15 years? No resolution to anything?
Well, here's the thing, though. Average Joe, like, we're talking about this right now. 94% of the average sports fans or people don't know what we're talking about or care. The thing about this on the back end, though, is the product itself, forgetting that this is supposed to be college football and, you know, you're supposed to see these guys in your psych class and all that kind of stuff. Now, it's the product of college football itself, from the straight business standpoint, is so much better because now if you do have a transfer portal, everyone's got a decent starting quarterback who can at least be competent. You don't have, you know, you can fill in gaps. The actual games are played better. It was a better played sport this year. Now, from the history of the beginning of college football, there's only been like four teams that won the national championship. I mean, it's just not you're never going to see a Cinderella. You're never going to see a Boise State or an SMU make a run to the national championship in this thing like you can in like the NCAA basketball tournament. So it's always going to be the Blue Bloods because they're going to have more money. But overall, the product is just better on the field.
Yeah, it's disappointing. I do think people care when it comes down to the payment of athletes. It was only, you know, 5 years ago that I was still fielding calls from listeners going, oh, the players need to be happy that they have a scholarship. They don't need to make money. And I think if we fast forward to your point, I mean, if you're paying tuition or I'm paying tuition or I'm paying for my kids' tuition and then the players get a revenue share, I mean, that's a payout. I'm going like, hey, I need to go to school for free. I mean, pay me too. Why am I paying to go here?
Well, that's the thing. My kid, you know, her TikTok account probably is more, get more publicity for her school than everybody else does. But the opposite of that, though, is they're actually not getting – the scholarship doesn't cover what they're worth, especially college basketball players, because you only have 12 or 15 of them. I think there was some study that said that if they were doing this right, you know, every power program player, no matter who it was, should be get paid at least $4 million or whatever just to make it worth it. And the other part of this thing, too, is, okay, that sounds great. Oh, the players can't get paid. Oh, meanwhile – you know, Steve Sarkisian got his contract extended to, 2094 or something? I mean, where, you know, the college coaches are getting paid $10-plus million a year. Assistant coaches are getting paid $2 million a year. So if the adults are getting paid here, why can't the players? And I get it. If you're a player and you're saying, you know, I don't want to, you know, why am I not getting, I'm the one here, you know, this is an entertainment business. I'm the one out here performing. You know, where is my money on this? And the other positive of this overall, too, is you saw fewer players going to the the early entry NFL draft this year, because now they are getting money, where if you're a fringe NFL guy, you would jump early, you'd be a fifth-round pick, you'd get cut in camp, and then, all right, that's it. Whereas now, yeah, you want to stick around, because you're going to get paid for a little while, and maybe hit the weights more and become more of a pro prospect. But now you're seeing far fewer players leave for the NFL early.
Hey, Pete, final question for you. It's 2026. Between January now and 2025, what can we expect over the next year? What is your big prediction? Is Deion still going to be staying? Who's winning the Heisman? What should we look out for over the next year?
I mean, it's going to be, honestly, it's going to be the year of Arch Manning. It's going to be Texas is going to be everyone's, you know, top three-ish team to start the season because, you know, the SEC will bounce back. Everyone's going to panic and all these, oh, the SEC's done. No, it's not. The SEC just had, you know, a couple rough parts here. They lost a couple tough games, whatever. The SEC's fine, and so everyone's going to be screaming about that. But it's going to be the Arch Manning sweepstakes because at the moment, we always know the players rise up. You know, there's going to be a Joe Burrow that comes from out of nowhere or a Cam Newton or someone we don't know. But right now, next year's quarterback crops looks really, really weak, except for Arch on top. So it's going to be the Arch sweepstakes if this goes according to plan.
Yeah, I've been waiting on Quinn Ewers to get the hell up one out the way for a minute. Now he can carry water in the NFL. I'm looking forward to that one, Pete. Thank you, man.
If Sark had just done four straight tush pushes from the one, Quinn Ewers is probably your starting quarterback last night against Notre Dame. So Quinn was all right for himself.
And when he was healthy enough to be all right, let's see how that lasts. Hey, Pete, thank you so much. Where can people follow you and everything that you do with College Football News?
CollegeFootballNews.com. And now's the fun part. Cause like you said, now we try to figure it all out. Who's going where and, you know, the off-season stuff. I geek out in the schedules. And, yeah, we get to start right now because, you know, August 28th is just around the corner here.
Oh my God! The weather is outside all over the country. We might want to rush it, but I'll take my time getting there. Okay.
It is minus six degrees out right now where I am. I will take that wherever I can get it.
Yeah, I understand. I almost slipped my hip walking into the studio today, so I get it.
Man.
I get it. Hey, Pete, appreciate the time. We'll catch you soon. Okay.
Anytime. You have a great night.
You as well, Pete Fiotek from CollegeFootballNews.com. Yeah, I can't wait for that, Hickey. I'm excited. Another Manning? I can't wait. I need another Manning. I need one. I need Arch. Arch can have a... Do they got another kid in the works? Is there somebody behind him? Do they got that ready yet?
Peyton's son is like 12, I think.
Is he throwing the football around?
I think he's playing flag, so... You know, not that far away.
Yeah, okay. Arch don't have any kids. It's too soon. Don't have kids. Somebody has to have another kid somewhere. Peyton has a 12-year-old. Could you imagine if every kid in their lineage is just throwing a football? Every kid. Every single kid.
Let me tell you, they'd be very attractive on the dating market with that gene pool.
What is Philip Rivers doing? I know he got a million kids.
Well, he probably has a full team ready to go.
Isn't he coaching one of his kids?
Yeah, I think high school, right? I believe it is.
Yeah. Not a Manning, though.
No, but he's got more kids. He got a full team, unlike the Mannings.
He got a better chance of working out. Well, how about this? Speaking of chances, I heard Antonio Cromartie, I think one of his kids is playing school. Isn't one of his kids, I think he just committed to a college or something like that.
I think you're right. Only, 13 more to go?
Antonio Cromartie is not up to 13 kids.
I think he's like 14 or 15.
Oh, my. I would text him, but I would not get a response back.
What would you text him? Hey, just trying to settle a debate here. What's the official number?
Hey, I'm on the radio talking about you and your boy. How many of them do you have? Man, I get blocked. I might get cursed out, Hickey. FSU lands. Yep. Yeah, January 13th. FSU lands Antonio Cromartie Jr., son of All-Pro DB for 2025. Good for him. Younger Cromartie. Oh, smaller. What you got, Tom? 5'10", 160. Okay. Not currently rated in ESPN's recruiting rankings. Oh, okay. All right. Anyway, good luck to people making babies. And congratulations to the Mannings. It's the Hickey, this is the weather for baby making. Did you know that?
Oh, makes sense. Nowhere to go but stay inside.
Yeah, either that or divorce.
True.
You make babies or quit each other. That's shout outs to everybody that loves their partner. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Yeah, if you have relationship tips for people stuck inside, you can call up and share them. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more about the coaches and college, the NFL.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Pete Futek for joining us in the last break to talk some college football as he came to us courtesy of collegefootballnews.com. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I have so much more to get into. Be hanging out with you past this break for another hour. I had talked about Aaron Glenn hanging out with the New York Jets. I fear for that man. What a bad idea. We talked about Ben Johnson being formally, at least not formally introduced, but at least via social media as the new head coach of the Chicago Bears. We got Josh McDaniels going to New England. We had the Hall of Fame announcements. Shout outs to Billy Wagner, CeCe Sabathia, Ichiro Suzuki. So we've had plenty to talk about. College football, pro football. Oh, Hickey, how about this? The NBA. Apparently, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Miami Heat, the Phoenix Suns, they're trying to figure out some type of ridiculous trade to move Jimmy Butler, where Bradley Beal would go to Milwaukee and Jimmy Butler would go to Phoenix. Chris Middleton would go to Miami. Sounds miserable. And then some other team would just be a schmuck.
I would love to have a Hard Knocks-like edition in the NBA where you could follow Jimmy Butler and Kevin Durant around. Wouldn't that be fun for half a season?
Oh, my God. Half a season? Well, Kevin Durant, I don't think would do anything. Jimmy Butler might be a little bit more interesting.
I mean, Kevin Durant's not going to fight back, or he probably just tweets something on social media once in a while. But Jimmy's not afraid to tell you how he feels, not afraid to make it public. Jimmy will tell you what he's thinking.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Here's some news. This is according to Evan Sideri, who covers the NBA for Forbes. He says that Bradley Beal is open to waiving his no-trade clause to join the Bucks. Per a longtime Arizona host. John Gambardella. Okay, all right. Milwaukee was a finalist alongside the Suns to get Beal originally in 2023. All right, so what the hell would this mean? We would get Bradley Beal, Damian Lillard, and Giannis on the same team? Like, they would ask Giannis to just play all the defense himself? Like, how would that work? Huh. Heat, Suns, Bucks. All right. Phoenix would get Jimmy. Milwaukee would get Bradley Beal. I don't know. Do you want Damian Lillard and Bradley Beal in the same backcourt? Isn't that kind of small?
I'm with you. I wouldn't. Yeah, I think you give up too much defensively, and especially in the playoffs. Defense does matter now. Look at the East with the Celtics. You're going to have to guard all five guys.
Those guys are huge. Six, seven, six, eight. Man, I don't know. I can see Jason Tatum going just smacking Bradley Beal the ball out of his hand. I don't know how this works. It'll be interesting, though. NBA always keeping things interesting. We were talking about transfer portal. This every day in the NBA is a wild world. 855-212-4227. Todd is here from Maryland. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Todd? Hey, Todd, you're live on the radio. Okay, Todd is no longer on the radio. Bye, Todd. Yeah, Hickey, this is a... and the trade deadline isn't until February 6th. And so what would be the rush? I did see that the Phoenix Suns made one of these know-nothing trades earlier today. They traded like a pick worth not a damn thing to move on. The Suns have traded an unprotected 2031 first-round pick to the Jazz for three first-round picks in 25, 27, and 29. Phoenix now has the necessary draft capital to acquire Jimmy Butler and offload Bradley Beal's contract in the same transaction. Okay. Yep, so it's inevitable. Now, do I think the Phoenix... Now, what would that roster look like? You got Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Jimmy Butler. Now, who the hell else is on that team? Do we know? Like, who else play? Oh, they still got... is it Jokic? Nurkic?
Oh, yeah, Yusuf Nurkic. There's some size for you down low.
The guy that Draymond Green tried to punk, one of them.
That's right. Yeah, one of them is
okay.
Right.
Oh, they have Grayson Allen. Okay, he's a basketball player. Royce O'Neal is there. Wow, okay. Nick Richards, I know they just traded for him. Mason Plumlee, they are still Plumleys in the NBA? Oh, my God. Mason Plumlee, 34 years old. Okay. All right, good. We need this. I need Jimmy Butler to go to the Phoenix Suns, and then I need him to be miserable. Because this man just manufactured. He's just a jackass. I get it. You want your money. They'll give him a contract extension. And I guess poor behavior does work out. You want to leave in professional sports? Whine, cry, threaten a trade. There's no better way to do this stuff. You got to look bad in front of the fans. But I think this is a reminder for a lot of people. These guys are playing for themselves. They're not playing for you. Professional athletes are playing for their wallets. They are not playing for you. Jimmy Butler was asked about his whole trade situation and contract demands, and he said it's none of your business. Those are facts, people. Those are facts. It's the JR Sportbrief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, yeah, we'll give you an update on the Hall of Fame, Major League Baseball players that are getting in. We'll talk about the coaches that are moving around in the NFL. Talk SEC and Big Ten. I told you I had some numbers on that. More to go. The JR Sportbrief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.